A genius is known by his ability to light his own fire. Now, how about that? Pretty nice idea, huh? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley with the thought for today here in Campo, California. The sun is just beginning to pop over the top of the hill, top over the mountain there. Just a little peak of the sun is coming up. Pretty soon the rays are going to be so glorious and beautiful, I'm going to be bathed in sunlight. And at that moment, Heinz is going to rise and close the curtain so it doesn't shine in my eyes. And he's just a thoughtful, loving, kind person. And the hummingbirds out here, we have about 10 hummingbirds all trying to get at the three-hole hummingbird feeder. Don't we have another hummingbird feeder around here? No. Probably should have two of them out there. Those are the crowds that we draw here. This is the hummingbird restaurant. A genius is known by his ability to light his own fire. What does it mean to be a genius? To be a genius means you listen within and you follow the guidance that you have from within of the divine in you, always giving you good ideas, always telling you a proper way to go and make you happy. And that's all good. But how many people follow that inner genius, you know? How many people follow that inner guidance? They just don't. And the reason they don't is they say it's too good to be true. Or it can't be that way, it's too easy. Or I've got to think about this. I got to take my second, third, fifth, hundredth, 7,000th thought on why it is so. And this is what we do. It's what we do. We come to a fork in the road. We know instantly which way to go. But we want to think about it. Let's see, no, that's that way and this is this way. And which way should I go? Which way should I go? And both are wrong. If either was right, you'd have no problem. You just take one road and go and be happy about it. But it's not. You really don't know. And if you were just to stop and think and say, I'm going, you come to the fork in the road, right? Not another thought. The first thought, right? You'll be right almost 99 and 99 100% of the time. But some of the time, you do get another thought that pops in there before your first thought that says right. So, a genius is known by his ability to light his own fire. What this means is that all of us have the capacity within us to be fabulous, to do anything we want to do. But it takes motivation to do this. Now, I have been counseling with lovers now for many years. And my counseling with lovers falls on deaf ears a great deal of the time. I tell these lovers who are madly, passionately wanting each other, not each other, but they're wanting the other, that if you chase it, it'll run. If you chase after the person you're loving, they'll run away. Even if they are madly in love with you too. She's overwhelming, he's overwhelming, I don't know if I can handle this, you know. So, when you want to do something, you do it gently. Now, how do you light your own fire? First, you just turn the flame up a little bit, then you put the match in there, like in the pilot light for a hot water heater or something like that, and then you light it, and it goes poof. And then you turn it so it goes to on after you had it on pilot. And then the flame is just buzzing in there a little bit. And then the thermostat, which goes up into the water, it says, the water is cool. Pour the heat on. So then the heat's poured on. And then when the water's warm, the thermostat says, turn off the flame, put it back to pilot. So the flame goes back to pilot. Now this is exactly how human beings are. When we're cold, we want to warm up fast. Put on lots of coats and turn on the heat and so forth. And then somebody else comes walking in from outside and says, oh, this is a hot house, you know, because they haven't taken it in the stride that you have. If you would like to accomplish anything in life, just follow your natural way of doing it. The natural way is just when you are cool, warm it up. When you are warm, cool it down. Now, how do you warm it or cool it when you're dealing with your body? So, when you're dealing with your body and you're too warm, you take some clothes off. If you're too cool, you put clothes on. Now that is what you would think it would be. And you're shaking your head, no. That's what you would think it would be, but it's not that. When you are cool, you stop thinking about being cool. And you will not be cool. If you go to the door and you're very warm, and you're just sweating, and you've really been working and painting the house or something, and you go to the door, and someone at the door says, "Sir, you have just won $3 million. And you forget that you were sweating. You forget that you were hot. You forget all about that stuff. That's unimportant. You're thinking of that $3 million. Wow! When do I pick it up? Where do I get it? You know, right here. Here it is. Here's your check. Wow! Can I cash it now? Sure. It's yours right now. Okay. And you don't even change your clothes. You don't even take off your old sweaty clothes and your old stinky stuff that you've been wearing while you were painting and things like that. You just take that check and say, "I'm going to cash it right now. Now, this is, you know, fantastic." And you forget. And so then you run out the house. In the house, you were sweating because it was very hot in there. And you run outdoors, and it's below freezing. And here you are, sweating away, and it's below freezing, and you don't feel a thing. Your mind is on this motivation you have in your hand. You don't think a thing about your body temperature. And by the time you get to your car and drive to the bank, and go in the bank, you're pretty well dried off, and you're pretty well, whatever. But you don't feel warm, and you don't feel cold. Then you go into the bank and you say, "Here's my check." And they say, "But your identification, please." And so you pull out your wallet and you show them your identification. And they say, "Okay, how would you like it? In 20s? $3 million in 20s? How would you like it in just three $1 million bills? Or, you know, how would you like it to have it?" You know, your mind boggles on that. And they say, "Well, what would $3 million dollars in $20 bills be?" "Well, it'd be about a stack as big as a big trunk." And you say, "But that's heavy too, isn't it?" "Oh, yes." "Now, are you planning on spending it all at once? If you're going to spend it all at once, just leave it in big bills and then go in and give that big bill to somebody else, let them carry it around. But if you're going to just take it over a long period of time, just open an account in the bank, you know, and put your money in there and write checks on it." Oh boy, you're not thinking of a thing. Now, lunchtime has gone, and supper time's approaching, and you're thinking about this, what you're doing. You're getting this bank all set, you're getting your checkbook all set, which you haven't had before. You're not even thinking of being hungry. And so, finally, you get everything all done, and you walk out of the bank, and you go, you know, you take your first breath, and your body doesn't even know anything's going on. It has no feeling whatsoever. You don't feel hot, cold, you don't feel tired, you don't feel hungry, you don't feel the need to go to the bathroom, you don't feel anything. But now it's sort of sinking in. And now you're beginning to have feelings. You get in the car and you say, "I'm worth $3 million, you know? And you drive away and you say, "Hey, I'm worth $3 million, you know that?" And of course, that's not the thing to do. But that's what's in your heart. That's what's in your heart. So then you say, "I gotta tell somebody." You see? Now, who are you going to tell? Anybody you tell, you now have $3 million, is going to say, "I would be happy to help you spend it, you know." And you remember, Grandma, she needs that operation. Remember, Mama, she's got to have new teeth. And remember, the house is being repossessed by so-and-so. And, you know, you now that you're such a wealthy man, you have to help us. Keep your mouth shut. You've always been wealthy, you know. You've always been wealthy. But if you go around paying other people's bills, you soon won't have any wealth. And if you're a self-starter, if you light your own fire, you keep your own counsel. You guide yourself by listening within. People who go around telling other people that they have perfect health, Well, how did you get that perfect health? How did you, what did you do for it? Hey, all I know is I like myself and I eat right and I do this right and so on. Well, I know a lot of people who like themselves and it doesn't work, or they eat right and it doesn't work, or they, you know, take care of their body and it doesn't work. How come? How come? Well, maybe it's a combination. But you see, a self-starter, a person who can light his own fire, that person does not need anything from anybody. As I said, I've been talking with these lovers over the past years now who are chasing after men or women, and they're looking for that perfect love, and they want to find it. And I tell them, hey, if it's yours, it'll be there. If it's not yours, it won't be there. It's just as simple as that. You cannot chase after something and expect to catch it. What does a hunter do? Think about it. A hunter goes out in the field and he's chasing the quarry, you know. He's chasing his prey. He's seeking after the rabbits, the deer, the whatever he's hunting. And he runs through the woods and clunk, 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 bang, bang, bang through the woods, and his sticks are breaking, and he's, hey, deer, where are you? Hey, bear, where are you? I want to get you, you know. That's what he does? What would happen? Bang! There would be no animals anywhere within the sound of his voice, if they've got any brains, and they do. So, what does he do? He has a blind, or he has a place where he sits quietly, waiting for them to come to him. He goes on a trail where they had frequent. They frequent that trail, so he knows that's a place where they could very well be. And then he sits quietly. Remember Kinship with All Life and the Language of Silence? In those books, this, what's Baird Spaulding? No, J. Allen Boone, yeah. Boone would sit in a corner of a field in the jungle, you know, and as he sat there, the monkeys had all left. He knew that was the place where they liked to be. And he sat there quietly for a couple hours. You know, he's very patient. And pretty soon, the monkeys started coming back there. He was part of the woodwork. He wasn't anything threatening. And they came back, and they came back, and they chattered and enjoyed it, and they played right around him. They even came right close to him, and never once being disturbed. You see, he knew how to light his own fire. He knew how to accomplish the goal that he had for himself. And then, what happened? The monkeys started talking to each other. And in a few moments, the lead monkey said, out, and the whole gang left that clearing, and they went away. And about an hour later, a bunch of hunters came through. They had precognition, they had pre-knowledge that those hunters were coming. They could sense it, or they had some sort of a grapevine that was telling them all these things, and they knew it. And the hunters said, Boone was still sitting there quietly, and they didn't even see him. The hunters said, I thought you said there was supposed to be a lot of monkeys here. You know, how come we can't find any monkeys? You know, why are there no monkeys around? Crunch, crunch, bang, bang, you know, chasing after them. And so after about an hour, they left there. Why they stayed so long, I don't know. But after about an hour, they left there. And maybe an hour later, all the monkeys came back, because these people had gone on their way without ever catching a monkey. And that's the way you do it. That's the way you light your fire. You light your fire gently, harmoniously, to accomplish the good you want. Now, I know you want to go back to the $3 million, but that's not a joke. That's not a joke. When you are in the proper attitude with your mind, you create yourself receiving gifts and wonderful things from all sorts of places that you never dreamed you would. But you have to be harmonious with yourself, because is somebody going to come up and give you a gift if you look like you need it? Nope. Somebody going to give you a gift if you look like you don't need it? You know, you're a wealthy person? Nope. Is somebody going to give you a gift because you like yourself and you are happy in yourself and you're being yourself and having fun? You may look rich, you may look poor, you may look needy, you may not look needy, but if you like yourself, knowing who you are, then all the doors are open for the fine things in life to be revealed through you. It's as simple as that. Now, what are some of the fine things in life? Good health. Good health is one of the fine things in life. You want to experience good health? Well, like yourself. Make your body a receptacle for good health. Make your body as someplace good health wants to abide. Good health wants to live there. Make your body a mental and a physical being where good health and that sort of stuff wants to be. Now, when you do that, then all sorts of wonderful miracles happen. I should eat after I talk. But it's wonderful. Can you visualize that? Now, if you want abundance in your life, what do they say?
Think. Abundance.
If you want, that's nice. If you want abundance in your life, what do they say?
Create it.
Yes, that's nice too. Now, if you want abundance in your life, what do you do?
Claim it.
No, surround yourself.
Ah, my goodness, we finally got the answer. Yes, surround yourself with abundance. Surround yourself with abundant people. Live in the atmosphere of abundance. And abundance is yours. But if you're living in the presence of poverty, then in the absence of abundance, but in the presence of poverty, then that's all you'll have. Now, I keep telling you guys, these street people, they're not poor. They look poor. They play the game. That's what they want to do. And that's their costume that they're wearing. And when they stand on the edge of the highway, you know, in the city where the cars stop for a moment, and they say, I am a homeless person and I need money to live. Well, you believe him? You give him $5, you give him $10. By the end of the day, that guy has got $1,000 or better. He earns more than anybody else. No taxes. There's nothing he has to pay on it. And then he takes that money and he goes back to his mansion. And he goes to the side street, maybe, and he's got a room there. And he takes off his costume, leaves it in the room, gets on his nice suit and gets in his car and drives home to his swimming pool and his chauffeur and stuff. No, I'm not really kidding you at all. He lives, thinks abundance. And this is part of the theater he's playing. He's playing the theater of being poor. And he is not. He is not. The fact is, everybody wants to help him. Everybody wants to give to him because they want to feel that they're helping somebody lesser than themselves. Well, that's very foolish. He's lighting his own fire in the theatrical world. And you say, well, Herb, that's not very nice, and you're going to find all these homeless people coming on your back. No, they aren't. No, they aren't. Because you don't believe me. You don't believe me. I'm telling you these things because I know them to be true. Psychologically, I've studied them. Philosophically, I've studied them. Spiritually, I've studied them. Physically, I've studied them. You say, well, you studied all that junk? No, these are principles. And this is what it is. Now, if you believed me, what would you do?
Go in the street.
No, if you believed me...
Hold up the sign.
If you believed me, you would light your own fire. Now, obviously, your fire is not standing in the street.
No.
Obviously, your fire is not begging from other people. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your fire is a different program, which is just fine. Now, are you applying your program? Oh, yes, I'm spiritual and I'm poor. You know, how stupid, you know? And oh, yes, I'm emaciated. I'm a Buddha, you know. But that's before he got the message. After the Buddha got the message, he says, let's eat, drink, and be merry, you know? So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I would like to suggest to you that it doesn't matter what you do from one point of view, and it doesn't matter what technique you use, but ride the crest of whatever program there is and benefit from it. If you if you're an entrepreneur and you want to create some beautiful program or some project, look around and see what's going. Oprah Winfrey, you know her? She's this beautiful black lady, and she got on to a talk show that she was creating because she was a minority. because and this got her into the place. But then she stopped being a minority. She started saying, we are beautiful, we are fantastic, you know. Black is beautiful. She began to teach that. And pretty soon, people of every description came on her program. And her program grew and grew and grew because she knew what she was doing. She didn't need anyone to approve of her. She approved of her. She was good. And then as she grew and grew and grew, she says, hey, I'm tossing out money having someone else produce my program. I'm going to produce my own program. I'll develop my own program people, you know, and she did. And she is one of the richest women in the world. And she is one of the 10 most, she's at the 10th, I think, she's one of the 10 most influential women in the world. And that all started within, say, 20, 30 years. Now, she found a niche for herself. People didn't like themselves. Black people didn't like themselves. They thought they were poor and they thought they were not very nice. And she changed that from those who were in her world. But you know what she did? She crossed all the boundaries. I would say the majority of the people on her program are not black. Mm-hmm. They're white and Chinese and every other description in the world. Beautiful beings, you know. And they all have stories to tell. And she is always looking at the positive end of things for them. She found a niche and filled it and was beautiful at it. How many Oprah Winfreys are there in the world? All of them. Every human being is that same capacity. But she knew how to light her fire. She knew how to bring about the desire that she had to apply her genius. Now, did she know everything? No. Does Ann Landers know everything? You know who Ann Landers is? She is the columnist who writes for people who have problems, you know, marriage problems and everything else. They write, Dear Ann Landers, what am I supposed to do? And what does Ann Landers have? She has a team of 50 or 100 people offering her information on how to think about the problems. Really amazing. And the name slipped me. He's written Chesapeake Bay, and he's written Hawaii, and he's written all these big books. He has a staff, not Norman Mailer. Yeah, anyhow. But he has a staff of people, at least 100 to 200 people, gathering together all the materials and gathering together little life stories that fit in those particular areas. And then he merely juggles them, which is a genius part. He juggles them to make a story, and then he has a thread go through the whole thing of some person's life or some family's life or something like that, and makes it into a dynamic, positive story. And he is the same technique he uses on every book, but each book is dynamic and powerful. He found a niche for himself. He found a niche. And all of these other people who are quite successful, they just found a niche. Now, what is your niche? And you say, well, Herb, tell me. Well, I know what your niche is, and I won't tell you. Because if I tell you what your niche is, you'll say, ah, no. But when you find your niche by listening within, and you light your own fire, and you go for it gently, not too heavy. When a lover chases another lover, the other lover runs. And they say, he chased me till I caught him. But be real careful. Be real careful. Determine what your goals are. Keep it to yourself. It's your private, personal goal. And then follow that goal with all your heart and soul. Not panicky, but just with gentleness, with sincerity, and you'll find the door will open. Are you walking the spiritual path? Are you having any luck at it?
What was this? No luck.
Well, excuse me. You're taking issue of the word.
Yeah.
What word do you use?
Success.
Ah, yes, 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 yes. You see, we misunderstood. We thought she wasn't having good, following her spiritual path properly, and she was taking umbrage with the word luck. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Because there is no luck. There is no fate. We make our own program of whatever it is we want. I tell you, Oprah, you can send me your $50 million for the thank you note. I'll accept. But they've given us all this wisdom. They've shown us that it does work. They've shown us that these things do accomplish it. And it's only up to us to make it work. Was it Cassius Clay, or who was it who said, I'm the greatest, I'm the best?
Mm-hmm. There's a saying though, right?
Hmm?
Muhammad Ali and
Cassius. Yeah. He changed his name, yeah. And how did that happen that he got to be the greatest? Because you were afraid. You were afraid of him when he said he's the greatest. And you didn't do your best. And he did his best. You see, when anybody comes up and looks great and acts great and so forth, you think, my, they must be great. And you expect them to be great. And everybody backs them up in being great. And somebody who goes up to them and looks poor, looks sad, looks sick, is going to die, then poof, they're going to die. Unless they meet Patricia Shifdad, one of our students. She goes to them and she says, you want to live? Yes, I want to live. Okay, then get out of bed and go home. And stuff like that. But you see, this is being positive. Being positive, lighting your own fire and getting excited about life the way you like it. Just the way you like it. And when you do, every door opens up for you. Well, you have a lovely day. A genius is known by his ability to light his own fire. And you just light your fire. And remember that it's your fire. It's private. And nobody else's business. I love you. I love you. I love you.